The Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, but Matthew, the sixth chapter, there is something that Jesus just needed to get across before he concluded. And so Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, going to just read a couple of verses to get us started. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would just take this time, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, we are all bombarded by the difficulties of life, and in that, Father, most of us, if not all of us, at some point succumb to worry. I pray, God, that you would give us direction, direction that came straight from Jesus, that you will challenge our hearts and lives, that you will lift us, Father, to the life you want us to live. And thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus came into this world, he came into a world of people. Now, they were real people. We think of people that lived way, way back then as being backward people, as being people without thought, people without minds in some cases. I wanted you to know they were real people like you. They had real minds, real thoughts, real families. They had real issues. And as he came among them, he did not go to the wealthiest places. He did not live in the highest of the highs. No, he came into this world and grew up in the abode of a humble carpenter. He knew what it was to be among everyday people. He knew what it was to be among everyday people that were looking for everyday food and that were trying to get through every day in difficulties. He knew what it was to be around people who were stressed. Ever been around somebody stressed? Look around. In such a setting, Jesus says, right in front of everybody, do not worry. Now, in case you didn't get it, we're going to talk about worry today, and don't try to act like you're so sanctimonious that you never do it. I want you to know, I come in full confession, I am not talking of someone who has mastered this. But I am talking of as someone who is in the process. And I can tell you in my own heart and life that I do better when I do not worry. And God knows that our lives are so constructed that worry is not beneficial. So Jesus says, do not worry. If you read on down in this passage, you know what he says? Do not worry. And in case you didn't get it those first two times, before he is through, he says in 25, 31, and 34, do not worry. He repeats it because he knew there would be Baptists that weren't listening the first two times. He is challenging us about the fatal flaw of fretting. Worry, by its definition, should put you off. Worry means to be pulled in opposite directions. Many words in the Bible paint a picture. This word paints a picture. The picture is a very graphic picture. It's a picture of something that was actually done by Romans at times. It was called being drawn and quartered. Now, the way they would do this was really simple. They would get four horses, and they would get one person. They would tie one arm to one horse, another arm to another horse. They would tie one leg to the third horse and the other leg to the fourth horse. You want to know what worry is? Worry is in that situation yelling, "Giddy up." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that is a painful image. Worry is painful. It is painful to you. It is painful to those that are around you. If you're a Christian, if you've invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've repented of your sin, you've turned toward Jesus, you are heaven bound, oh hallelujah, that is great news to have. You know what is to be the marker of your life? Peace. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the spirits. The fruit of the spirits, love, joy, peace. Peace is the opposite of worry. And so if the Spirit of God is going to bring peace into our life and we're going to live by peace, then we cannot live by worry because it is its opposite. The word peace means to put together. Worry is to pull apart. Peace is to put together. Our Lord Jesus comes into our heart and life. He puts us together. He puts us in harmony. He puts our mind, our body, and our spirit in harmony. And more than that, he puts us in harmony with the Father God. I want to be in sync with the Father God. I want my life and my operations and how I go through things to be paired with his desires. Because when they are, I'm at peace. When I have peace, it means that I know I'm forgiven. When I'm at peace, it means I know I'm seeking to live by the book, God's book. I'm trying to obey God's word. When I'm at peace, I know God has my back. In fact, he's got my front, my sides, he's my front and my rear guard. In worry, I'm stressed out. Jesus says, don't worry. But I live in a real live world, and I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of worrying going on. In case you didn't understand, worry is sin. Jesus had to come and go to a cross because of worry. Now, yes, it is sin. It's one sin. But Jesus had to die for that. If your only sin was worry, Jesus would have had to be nailed to a cross to cover your worry. We've elevated worry to kind of a badge of honor, haven't we? Instead of seeing its tragedy, instead of seeing how it tears people in homes and lives apart, we have lifted worry up to like it is a big, super thing. And if you are a worrier, oh, wow, you are somebody special. We get around Mother's Day and people think about their mothers and they talk about, oh, how she worried about me. Well, she may have, but you know what? It's sin. It's sin if your mama did it, and it is sin when you do it. Think of worry in this light. Have you ever heard somebody say something like, oh, I was up all night last night. It was terrible. Why were you up? Well, oh, I was just worried. Oh, bless your heart. How terrible for you. How much you must care. Now, what would be your response if the same person said, oh, I was up all night last night. I just couldn't get any sleep. Well, why were you up? I was robbing banks. Oh, bless your heart. I was plotting the murder. Oh, bless your little heart. You care so much. When I say worry is sin, I am serious. It murdered Jesus. And so worry is sin, whether it's in your mama's life, your daddy's life, your cousin's life, your neighbor's life, or your life. And I know it is certainly so in my life. Worry will wreck you. It will take your mind away from where your mind needs to be. It will put your mind on what your mind doesn't need to be on. It will hurt your mind, your body, and your spirit. Physically, worry causes high blood pressure, ulcers, heart attacks, and strokes. Jesus is not playing around. He says, don't do it. And so we see worry explained. Worry gives us an incorrect view. In verse 25, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about what your body, what you shall put on. By the way, that just kind of wrecks most people's day, doesn't it? You think about today. You got up this morning stressed out about what am I going to wear to church? And so you think, well, you know, I know that's true because there are people watching online that didn't come because they didn't have anything to wear. People come to visit. You got to stay home with them. Why? They don't have anything to wear. A bunch of nudists at your house, I guess, but, you know, they don't have anything to wear. So a lot of our thoughts go into what are we going to wear? And I know you don't find a lot to wear because there are stores that sell stuff to wear. And when that doesn't work, you're on Amazon or somewhere shopping and, you know, you're bringing in stuff to wear. Worry about what to eat. Now, we live in a country where we do have starving people, but that's not most of us. Most of us have been well fed. And yet, I didn't speak for 2 minutes before some of you were worried about what you were going to eat next. Where are we going to go? What are we going to eat? What will we get today? When will he shut up? You know, all those kinds of things so you can get to food. Your mind gets turned off of where it should be onto something where it shouldn't be, and you focus on those things. Jesus is speaking on the basis of what's really important. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Life is more important than trivial matters. Worry gives us an incorrect view. It gives us an incorrect value. Jesus gives us an illustration from the world around him. Maybe while he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, a bird flew by and he saw that bird and he begins telling about God's care. Look at that little bird. God takes care of that little bird. That bird doesn't have barns to put food in. That bird can't buy things, you know. And yet God makes sure that bird is cared for. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart feel lonely away from heaven and home? For Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Yeah, God takes so much care for a little bitty bird. He says, aren't you of more value than they? And the Greek knows how smart we are, so the Greek kind of answers its own question. And the way that's written is, aren't we more smart? Aren't we more of value than they? Yes, we are. And it answers itself. If God cares for the birds which are his creation, don't you think he cares for you as his child? Now, I've seen the way some of you treat your pets, but I have a confession to make. I love my kids better than I have loved my pets. My God loves me more than he loves the remainder of his creation. And he loves you more than he loves the remainder of his creation. He watches over you. He cares for you. Don't worry. And then we see worry expounded in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Can you get taller by worrying? If you're too short, if you fret about it, will you be taller? This is actually talking more about length of life. Can you add to your days by worrying and fretting about your life? Can you live longer as a result? Actually, the opposite is the true. Worry might mean that you live shorter. We do a great deal to live longer, don't we? We go to doctors. You know, doctors, their offices are built around insult. They make you take off what you got, put on some kind of paper garment that split up the back, and you sit in a cold room for about an hour and a half before they come in and look at you and shake their head. Listen, we diet. Some of us do. Some of you have to put on weight. I don't understand you at all. We exercise. The Bible says exercise profits, but a little. But some of us need a little. We do all these things. They may help our quality of life. Jesus is saying, you know, you're not going to stretch your life out by these kind of things you do. Worrying is not going to help you in any situation. Worry does not change things. Worry just has you messed up about things. Physically, you damage yourself by worry, and I promise you, you damage your relationships by worry. When all the people around you hear is how worried you are about whatever it is, they just want to get away from the worry. Yeah, the worry and the worrier. Consider the lilies. They don't spin, they don't sew, but their beauty is beyond the most glorious garments. Solomon was very wealthy. He could buy anything he wanted. He could have whatever clothes he wanted. He could have them tailor-made, which is the way they kind of did everything. And yet, God's attention to the beauty of the field is far greater than what his attention to his own arraignment could be. And so God could take care of things better than he and his wealth could take care of things. Certainly, God puts more care on you than he puts on the lily, on the plants, on the beauty of this world, which today is and tomorrow is gone. When you view the beauty of this earth, you know, look at the beauty of the world around you and understand God cares so much that he gave us pretty things to look at, all to lift our spirit, all so that we would know he cares more about us than any of that. It says in verse 30, O you of little faith, anything that is not of faith is sin. You can't worry and faith at the same time. Jesus says, don't worry about what you will eat, about what you will drink, about what you will wear. By the way, that's how unbelievers live. That's how the lost world is headed toward hell. That's how they think. If you got Jesus, why would you think the way they think? Worry is not trivial. It's just worry. Get over it, preacher. It's just worry. Oh, they're just worried. Worry. when you worry, you are insulting God. You're saying by your worry that God's not capable of taking care of you, that God is not capable of keeping his own children. You're saying that God is not active and doesn't want to be active in your life. You're saying God doesn't love you enough. Anytime you want to worry and you want to say God doesn't love me enough to take care of this matter in my life or to guide me through this matter in my life, look at a cross. And you'll see how much God loves you. And if God loves you that much that he would allow Jesus to die on Calvary's cross for you, can't he take care of this matter in your life that you are stressed out about? Dr. R. Mort said, worry is practical atheism. The atheist says there is no God. When you worry, you're living like there is no God. See, the atheist says there's no God to help you. When you're worrying, you're saying God's not willing to help you. You're discrediting God, and you're turning your life over to worry. In fact, what you're doing is you're making an idol out of those things that you're worried about. The beginning of worry is the end of faith, but the beginning of faith is the end of worry. Worry denies the power of God. Faith proclaims the power of God. Which do you want to do in your life? Think about how much of a waste worry is. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. Sitting in a rocking chair passes time, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You think of the waste. A University of Michigan study of worry said 60% of our worries are unwarranted. So throw that 60% out. 20% are past activities which cannot be changed in any way, shape, or form. And so throw that 20% out. 10% are so trivial that they make no difference. So throw that 10% out. That leaves us with only 10% of our worries. Of that last 10% of worries, this study showed that only 5% are real. And of those 5%, only 2.5% of our worries can actually be altered. Now, that means 97.5% of our worries are ridiculous, fruitless, are a waste completely. And you're telling me you can't trust God with 2.5% of worries that are left? That's not very much faith, is it? Can't we just trust God? Can't we just put our hope and faith in him? Can't we just allow him to handle this situation or that person or you know, what is about to happen? Can't we just understand that God has us and God's got it and God can get us through it every time? Can't we understand that he is more powerful, more caring, more loving than whatever we face? Don't worry. And so we see worry extinguished. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Stop seeking after the wrong thing. Stop seeking after worry. Stop seeking after selfish desire. Stop seeking against God. When you're worrying, you're drawing away from God. Seek God's rule in your life. Seek God's care in your life. Seek God's will in your life. And you don't have to worry about God's will. God's will is the very best for you. It is what you would choose for yourself if you had the brains to choose it. And so we accept his will, we stand in his will, and if we stand in his will, you know what we are also going to stand in? His peace. And that means the worry will fade. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus is not satisfied with taking a back seat to your worries. Seek him. Seek Jesus in every situation. You got a worrying situation? Find Jesus. If you will find Jesus, if you will put your attention on him, you'll be amazed how the worry seems to just fade away. You'll be amazed how it begins to take a back seat and Jesus can just drive things through. You'll be amazed because Jesus, when Jesus is in control, is going to bring reward and blessing to your life. The only reason you are worried is because you're not following Jesus. Stop it. And just turn to Jesus. And just allow Jesus to guide, to direct, to bless, to lead. Trust his promise. In verse 33, he says, and all these things will be added unto you. He's going to cover what you need. He's going to cover you in the situation. All these things shall be added unto you. He's got it. He's got you. He's got the circumstance. He's going to take care of it. Remember the psalmist? Remember the psalmist who said, the Lord is my shepherd? How did he finish that phrase? Okay, I know you all know this. I shall not want. If he is my Lord and he is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if I shall not want, then I shall not worry. And victory becomes ours because we are his. And there is hope for whatever we face. We don't know what's going to happen. Hey, he does. And as long as we are his and we are surrendered to his will, the victory is there for us. Now, you can't have that victory if you don't know Jesus. And so I challenge you today, you need to come to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You need to invite him to save your soul. In fact, just come down the aisle, say, I want Jesus. I understand what that means. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He will save your very soul. Forever. And if you know the Lord, I'm thankful that you know the Lord. It's time to stop putting worry first and put the Lord first. Christians, when we start showing people that we actually do trust the God we say we believe in, they will start wanting to know the God we believe in. And so, believer, maybe today, there's something in your life that you've been stressed out, worried about, that you're putting worry way up there and over Jesus in your life, and you just need to give it to Jesus. You don't have to give it to me. I don't want it. Give it to Jesus. You can come down here and just talk to the Lord. He cares more about you than you care about yourself. Willing so much to love you, to spare you, to give you his peace, that he died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. Trust him, and you'll find worries fade. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time today. We pray, God, that you would move within our hearts in this moment. Father, I pray that in this moment you will draw people to yourself. In this moment, Father, those that do not know you will come to know you. They'll just come forward and say, I want Jesus. Father, I pray that in this moment, believers will let go of worry and just reach out and hold on to Jesus and find your victory. And I thank you for what you will do.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.